suffering of Christ. And so his suffering, his willingness to come, and that's how he's to become in the brotherhood of God, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. And that's in Galatians 4 and 4. And we're not sure if there's anybody that could have made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. And then he's in Galatians 4 that in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might become the sons of God. And so here we're going to become the sons of God, simply because Christ came. And we were alienated from God. Our organic nature has so stained the walls of our souls that we could not, would not, enough to God that we could ever become the sons of God. But through Christ and what he did, so I wonder why you remember when Peter and for all those years the Gentiles were without God and without the whole being alienated from the commonwealth of Israel and God given the house of Cornelius. And Cornelius is, it said that his presence, this is interesting, that God spoke to Cornelius and said that your prayers and alms have come up before heaven, before God, and said this has become a physical memorial. We're thinking of a special weekend. I mean, it's next weekend. Here's a memorial, a monument of guilt for Cornelius of that time. And then without God, there's no way he can. That's why he was just given alms. He didn't pay tithes, and we wouldn't pay tithes. Imagine that. We wouldn't pay tithes, he couldn't pay tithes, he couldn't give offerings. And to the work of God, maybe he could just help the poor. So he gave to the poor. And he could pray, and his prayers came up. And here, I had to look at this memorial, this monument, who being stacked up in heaven. I often thought, are you building that in heaven? Are you stacking up a monument in heaven? When God turned around, is he saying something that you're building that you can't get around? And because of that, God is no respecter of persons. And the the sins of the world. Not the sins of Israel, but the sins of the world. And then all we had to do is go to the book of Genesis and see that God was going to bless Abraham. In many nations, it wasn't going to be just one nation, but he was going to bless him. And it wasn't just going to be in this one part, but their vision, that tunnel vision, and they could only see that Israel was going to remain and continue on as the primary part of the work of God, and that the Gentiles would be able to come in. And so, when Jesus came, thank God the only begotten of the Father came to this world. And they turned against him. He came to his own. And his own received him on him. In the letter to the Romans, he said, for blind is in part, is not the biggest part. Blind is in part, but not the biggest part. The biggest part of Israel is going to be blind. But for the promised sake, for the seed's sake, there was a few that did see. There were some that did have their eyes open and their ears did hear. The Lord Jesus said, blessed of your eyes, for they see in your ears, for they hear. For they see, but see not, and they hear, but they hear not. So he said, blindness in part has happened to Israel. It may be that they had their eye on the king, but they could not perceive what he was doing. And so they turned against him. They could not see. But thank God there was a part, there was a small part, and a remnant that came from the Father's sake, and that they could see what Jesus was doing. And so, here he was, he came as a king, but he came to his own, but God received him not. This was the only begotten of the Father. Thank God for this, the redemption of that place that we can be redeemed from his Adamic nature that we have been subjugated to. Serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the fullness of the letter. shall we say then, is the law of sin not forbidden? They ask. I have not known sin, but by the law, for I have not known lust, except the law has said, I do not lust. But sin, given occasion, and none commandment written, they all know concupiscence. For without the law, sin is dead. For I was alive without the law of God, but when the commandment came to see me, but I might die. Which was ordained to life and found to be unto death, for sin took an occasion by the commandment that feed me, and it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, commandment holy, and just, and good. Was it not because good made death and made God forbid, but sin, that it might appear sin, working death and making that which is good, that sin by the commandment? Because sin is sinful, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, so understand. For what we can't do, we are not conceivable. And so I just start talking on that in the sense of the law. He said that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The law was to make sin extremely sinful. God knew that for man to be changed, you see, the law did not deal with original sin. The law, there's no part of the law that ever did, dealt with the original sin. And it only dealt with the fruit of sin. And, but not with the original sin. The original sin is the Adamic nature. It's the nature that is found in the law. Never tried or can be able to do it or can improve on it. And only dealt with what that nature, the fruit that came from the Adamic nature that you had, so when you gave into your nature, and for them to stand there, the law said that there was this process that you went through to get forgiven. And you didn't understand that everybody that got forgiven under the law was forgiven on the credit. You know, like using credit cards, you use your swipe your credit card and you get this merchandise. You pay so much money for it. You actually didn't get any money. But one day, sooner or later, you're going to get a bill and you're going to have to pay. And that's what they did by law. They were using credit cards. And, but a sheep can't take away sin. The blood of a sheep cannot take away sin. It was going to take the Son of God to take away sin. So they all got their sins forgiven on credit. On the credit that one day the Lamb of God would come to this world and pay the price. Pay the bill. Pay the bill. And he came and took my sins home. He paid a price. He did not owe. He did a debt he did not owe. We owe a debt we cannot pay. We need someone to take our sins away. But he paid that debt. And so, we need more than the law. That's what he was saying here, is that the law was good. In the fifth chapter of Matthew, he just said, thank God, I have come to destroy the law. Or the prophets, but I say unto you that one knot or one tittle shall go out of the path of the law to all be fulfilled. And so, he didn't come to destroy it, he came to fulfill it. And so, in Hebrews, if that Hebrews 1 and 4, he said, like a master, he has come without, like you do a piece of cloth, he folded it up. Put it away. That was the law. The law was fulfilled in Christ. He's the only man that ever lived. He's called in 1 Corinthians 15 the second Adam. The second man Adam. And the first Adam of this opportunity of two people that was ever born that got their soul from God. That was Adam. He got his soul from God. And Jesus, he got his soul from God. God was the Father, God obeyed was the Father of Jesus. Your soul comes from the Father, your body comes from your mother. He got his body from Mary, but he got his soul from God. And so, that's why he said about Jacob, that there were 70 souls in the loins of Jacob. He had 70 children. So the soul comes from the Father, but the body comes from the mother. And so here was that Jesus, and that God was his Father, and so there needed to be something more done in the saving of the soul and just forgiveness of the sin, and not just dealt with the fruit. But when Jesus came, he owned the axe to the root of the problem. He dealt with the root of the problem, not just the fruit problem. And so he said the axe was laid to the root of the tree, and as the tree falls, so shall it run. And so in our inherent nature, there had to be something done for salvation. It had to be more than just an expensive temple built, and more than laws, dietary laws, and ordinances, and washing of hands, and save a man, because he was just like he was when he got through. He could do all that. But no man was able to do those things without breaking the law. And he said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. And no one had ever kept the law. No, not even Enoch. I know that people think Enoch went to heaven. Enoch didn't go to heaven. You read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, I'll let you know that he did not go to heaven. Enoch didn't go to heaven. Elijah didn't go to heaven. No man could go to heaven. Listen, there's one man that went to heaven under the law. Everybody judged everybody else. Everybody could have went under the law. There's one man can do it. If one of you here can walk on water, we can all walk on water. But you can't. And you can't know the law until Christ came. And so the law did not make anyone perfect. They didn't deal with the original sin. That's the reason why when Jesus came, he said that you have heard thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, he that looketh on a woman and in his heart and so forth. So he was down to the heart and by the way, the heart of every problem is a problem of the heart. And he said, out of the heart comes the issues of life. So it's when a man speaks, and see Jesus said it like this, you know, he said, one time he said, you know, you strain at a nut and swallow a camel. The reason why he's straining at nuts is because they were, they juice those claws, because when they knew their mind, that's coming. Why they're making their mind, that's when bullet get into the line. And so when they got ready to put the wine in the bottle, they explained it first to make sure that didn't slip through and get in that line and they break that net and they get the unclean. That's strange, isn't it? And then they turn around and swallow it down. And you can picture the zipper and the thing is down to the half the pile of the camel going down his mouth with legs out there kicking, carrying on. Trying to swallow this camel. I mean, it was a comical deal, but he was trying to make it ridiculous. But they were worried about that. But he said, look, it's not what goes into a man that defiles him. That's what comes out of a man that defiles him. It's what is in his heart. That's why he said it's expedient to do that with the way. Because there is going to be this rebirth. If he went by, he was going to stand a comforter, a baptism of the Holy Ghost. And so John came on the scene and started telling about Jesus and the forerunner of Christ. He was the harbinger. He was the began to, I don't know what time does this go to. Well, maybe I'll watch the book. Okay. since God had dealt with them. And Malachi was the last prophet, and from Malachi to John the Baptist comes on the scene. It's 400 years. I mean, can you imagine 400 years? 400 years in the United States. That's what, 230-something years, something like that. And so 400 years it went by. And now John the Baptist comes on the scene. His job was, he started his ministry 6 months before Jesus. And so Jesus asked this question. He said, what did you go out in the wilderness to see? And the mother said, well, a reed shift in the wind. Is that what you went out there? No. Did you go out there and say, man, give me a pair? No. People would go out there and hear king's promises. What would you go out there and see? A prophet. Yeah, much more than a prophet. Now listen to what he says. You think he's bragging on John? Now this is maybe in a sense he is, but this is not what he's bragging on. He said there's never been a man born of a woman greater than John. He just met John. Thank you. temper than the one in Israel like that. God is 6 months older than Jesus. For cousins. They know how old Jesus is. And he says he was before me. Heard you? It's for comfort in this book on the preexistence of Christ.
Jealousy, the pain, seeing that God accepted Abel's
sacrifice. And the reason why Abel had a heart after God, he was born in the will of God. And he had a heart after God. And so he could feel something in sacrificing to God. And so he realized, listen, I'm sinful. And evil is in me. I need to do something special. Something needs to die. I'm not ready for the world. And he did by then that God is always ready. The day that you disobey me, he shall surely die. So he knew that God was evident. That God was going to come. And so he offered up a sheep, or took a sheep to life, and offered up as a sacrifice for a king, and brought from his vegetables. And there's no cause, there's no sacrifice. And you know, if you had the letters or something, nothing had to be sacrificed. But you take the best of your sheep. This sheep had to lose its life, it gave up something. If you serve God, and when you commit to God, it's going to require a sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that costs you something. If it don't cost you, that's why David, David was going to buy that land and to build the house of God, and they were going to give it to him. They wanted to give it to him. And he said, no, he won't accept it as a gift. And he said, well, it's got to cost me something. It's got to cost me something. Do you ever read but did you notice that when they were breaking the temple and Solomon did you ever notice that? I know you read over that real quick, but it's really not necessarily interesting reading. About how many oxen he killed, and how many oxen did he kill? Thousands of them. Can you imagine? I don't remember how many it was, several thousand. But can you imagine the slaughter that was taking place? All these good working. Animals that was producing, and they're taking these animals and just killing them as a sacrifice to the God. It was just hard to believe that the miracle was so exciting that the house of God was established and they were going to dedicate it to God. And so, the law, this was the biblical law that God instituted through Moses and reigned for 1,500 years, and this was the great reign from Adam to Moses, meaning the Mosaic Law. Actually, the Mosaic Law reigned all the way from Moses all the way to the death of Jesus. Jesus was born under the law, he lived under the law, and he died under the law. And when he died, he was the Lamb of God slain for the foundation of the world, and he gave up his life at that time, and that ended the law. And then you go in Hebrews 1, like a pastor, he threw it out, and he put it away, and he entered in the new covenant, the new kingdom, the kingdom of God. On the day of Pentecost, the kingdom was born in the body. Hallelujah. And the Holy Ghost found that day. And those that were there that was obedient unto God, these that followed Jesus, these that Jesus said, Father, I thank you for these that you're giving me. He's talking about that 120. He wasn't talking about you. And I know people read themselves into that. And this is what he said, that none of these shall be lost in it, for Jesus is son of perdition. Well, we know people are lost. We know that God really tells people. We do know that God brings people into the kingdom of God and later turn their back on it and walk out. And is coming back. But can you imagine, well, back in the days of the Billy Gilligan novel, what was it in the world that Dennis just couldn't get away from? What was it? And certainly, they didn't have any of the stuff that they had today. And yet, whatever it was still more than Dennis could do. And he went back and went back to the world. Well, people have taken care of him, God has dealt with him, people, and God lays his hand on people, God lays his hand, and he said, no man can come unto me unless the Spirit of my Father draw him. Every one of you sitting here today, the Spirit of God drew you. You know why he was driven here? Because God put his hand on you. God brought you here. God brought you this way. God put it in your heart. And then you can say yes to it, or you can say no. You can come in and abide, or you can turn up this road over and over. In fact, Father God called in one scripture on backsliding effort. And that's not as neat as what it is if you get called a backsliding effort. If you know anything about heifers, I'm not saying anything about heifers, but I'm just saying that if you ever don't walk around one and try to bleed it, they don't bleed the insert back in out. And so, well, I'll tell you, if you're trying to do that, you just get the rope off. they start backing up. Oh, this water won't back. You just turn around and try to pull them down, but you're going to go back into the furrow. So anyway, you'll stay in the home, you won't keep going out that door. But a wall known as the Christ. And John was the last prophet under that dispensation. And then it shifted. By the way, that's the reason why God, God designs when some people have to die. And John had to die because he had to be in funeral. Because he could not be the head of this. He was the head. So, and even then, in Matthew chapter 5, they found these disciples. And they said, well, what baptism? Well, we baptized. And they said, well, we baptized the John. They said, from the ashes. They said, well, from the ashes. They said, well, have you received the Holy Ghost? If you believe, they said, we don't even know if they have the Holy Ghost. He said, well, I really got some more stuff on this.